All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 1.
And y'all finally got me with that crud, whatever that is. This may end abruptly somewhere in the middle if I go into a coughing fit. So Romans chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this is a very important verse because it tells us who this letter is written to. And that's always important when you read any of the epistles in the Scriptures. He begins there with, "To all that be in Rome." And that word "all" means he's writing to all kinds of believers. He's writing to the rich and the poor, the bond and the free, the male and the female, to all. And that word "Rome" tells us he's writing primarily to Gentiles. There may have been some Jews scattered among the Romans in some of the assemblies, but primarily this was to Gentiles. And he says, he qualifies it. He says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God." And to be beloved of God is to be loved before of God. Before the foundation of the world, God loved His elect in Christ. This is a way of saying to the elect, the beloved. And then he qualifies it more. He says, called saints. All who are beloved of God before time shall be called of God in time. And they will be made saints, because God predestinated it. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit." That means He's going to call them in time. "And belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's so of all God's elect. He will call them all in time. And when He calls us, He sanctifies us. Now be sure to get this, brethren, because this is where the Reformed Baptist and a lot of others miss it. Sanctification is not a co-effort between God and the sinner. That's the only way that God gets all the glory, is if God alone does the sanctifying. If we have a part in it, then God wouldn't get all the glory. And God said, "I will not share my glory with another." Sanctification's not a co-effort between God and the sinner. God the Father sanctified His people in divine election. God the Son sanctified all the elect in redemption. And God the Holy Spirit sanctifies His elect in regeneration when He calls us to faith in Christ. To be sanctified is to be created holy. Is to be created holy. It's far more than mere outward morality. That's what most denominations make sanctification to be, just mere outward morality. That's not holiness. In sanctification, God creates a holy man within His people. Christ is formed in you and creating in you a new, pure, holy heart that was not there before. You remember when the Scriptures, the psalmist said that we're justified, God will not impute sin unto us. Blessed are all those, God will not impute sin. That means we're justified. And he says, "And in whose spirit there is no guile, no hypocrisy whatsoever." That can only be said of this new man within every believer that God creates. He's holy, without sin. The old man is still sin, and all it is sin, and all it does is sin. That's why sin's mixed with all we do. But the new man, anything God creates, is holy and righteous. That's why the Scriptures tells us that he says when he called us, we obtained the glory of Christ. When you obtain the glory of Christ, What that means is you're made all that Christ is. And that's what he does in this new man. He creates a new man after the image of his Son. After his image. And he said, in righteousness and true holiness. And the reason he said true holiness is because it's not that feigned holiness, that pretend holiness that men regard as holiness. This is a true holiness because it's a new man created by God. And when we have Christ as our sanctifier and our sanctification formed in us, we're as holy as we'll ever be. You can't get more holy than Christ. And when you have Christ united with that new man, the holiness of that new man is Christ. And you can't get more holy than that. Paul told the Corinthians, ye are sanctified. He didn't say you're becoming sanctified or you're in the process of being sanctified. He said, ye are sanctified, just like you are justified. So we give thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us, not going to deliver, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And not only are we sanctified, we're also justified. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So God's saints are in the world, but we're not of the world. Just like Christ is not of the world. Paul said in Philippians 3, our conduct, and the word means our citizenship, is in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. We're not citizens of the earth. We're citizens of heaven. So you who are sanctified, I want you to never forget this. Our single occupation in this world, our one occupation in this world, is to serve God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ by loving one another and providing one another with the gospel of Christ as we send this gospel into all the world. This is our one purpose. This is our one occupation. That's it. It's not to build a great name for us and build a great estate and try to hoard up as many riches as we can. It's to serve God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the cause of Christ. That's what it's for. Doing so, we provide for our brethren. So Paul's writing here to all kinds of believers, rich, poor, bond free, educated, uneducated, but all of them were beloved of God and called saints. And whatever Paul writes to saints then, he's writing to saints now. This is true of us now, just like it was of them. Now next, he gives his usual salutation. He says there in verse 7, Romans 1, 7, at the end, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've preached on this salutation many times from different letters. Paul almost always begins with this salutation. It's not just a wish. This is the prayer and the desire of all God's people for our brethren. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is entirely by the grace of God and by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's so. All who God saves, they're chosen by grace. They're redeemed by grace, they're regenerated by grace, they're called by grace, they're gifted by grace, they're grown by grace, they're preserved by grace, they're resurrected by grace, and at last they'll be presented faultless to the Father by grace. It's grace, 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 beginning to end. Zerubbabel was a picture of Christ, and the Scripture says Zerubbabel was going to bring the headstone of the tabernacle, of the temple. A picture of Christ coming with the last elect child of God. And just like he did the first one he brought, he's bringing the last one crying, grace, grace unto it. It's all of grace. All of grace. And that means salvation is apart from our works. It's apart from our works. Grace and works are mutually exclusive. They cannot exist. Where you find one, you will not find the other. Paul said this, if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. See that? If it's all of grace, works are not involved. Or it ceases to be grace. And he said, but if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, works, no more work. You can't have both. Only one or the other. We're either saved by grace, even in sanctification, or we're saved by works. It's not both. It can't be a mixture. It's all of grace. So, likewise, just like salvation's all of grace, peace is all of God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, grace and peace to you. And both are from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord will bless His people with peace. The Lord gives peace. The peace God our Father gives His saints is Christ Himself. Remember what His name is? He's the Prince of Peace. That's who He is, the Prince of Peace. He promises, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. That's all you're going to get from the world. Don't look for peace in the world. Peace is in Christ. And when He sanctified us, here's the peace. When He sanctified us, brought us, called us to faith in Christ, through faith, because we were in Christ and because Christ justified us and made us righteous, God imputes to us free justification. He imputes to us righteousness. And that's our peace with God. That's why He said, Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Christ. We have peace with God because He justified us. And this is freely given to us through faith. Through faith. And so God our Father, when He has brought you to this peace and brought you to Christ and made you behold there's peace between you and God the Father, He makes an everlasting covenant with you. And this covenant goes like this. God said in Isaiah 54:10, the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. That tells us this covenant is not a two-sided covenant. It doesn't. It's not some stipulations God will fulfill and some stipulations we have to fulfill. It's all of God. So God can tell you, I'll never take away this covenant of peace. And so throughout our lives, God says this to us. When you get trouble in this world, you're going to have trouble in the world. Where's our peace? It's Christ. So He says to us in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious over anything. Don't get worried and troubled over anything. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Come to God like a little child who needs the help of his Father. And God says this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. This peace is not outward peace. It's not. It doesn't mean He's going to necessarily take away the thing that's troubling you. He's going to give you peace in your heart and in your mind and keep you in His peace. So go to Him. He's the peace. Go to Him. So whatever happens to us, brethren, in this world, whatever situation we're in, trouble, sorrow, whatever, we can say with the psalmist, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So you can lay down and sleep in peace. Because our Lord only makes His child dwell in safety. Somebody, He allowed men to kill His people before. But they didn't hurt His people. They just removed the old man of sin, and the new man went to be with the Lord. They can't hurt His people. We dwell in safety. We dwell in Christ. So if you ever want to ask God a blessing for me, this is it. This is it. This is the blessing all God's people ask for one another. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the Spirit God gives in sanctification? When He's done all this for His child, what's the Spirit He gives His child in sanctification? Well, in the Apostle Paul and in the Roman saints here, we see the Spirit that God gives in sanctification. And I want to show you three things about this. First of all, the Spirit God gives those that He sanctifies is a spirit of thankfulness. It's a spirit of thankfulness. Look at Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, those that are sanctified by God, thank God our Father through Jesus Christ for our brethren. We thank God for brethren. This is the Spirit He gives. It's a thankful spirit. We thank God for brethren because God alone is to be thanked. That's what He said. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. We're thankful for God's great gift of brethren in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ. What a great gift God's given us. When God sanctifies you, you're not going to have unity and that bond that you once had with unregenerate men in this world. You're not going to have that bond anymore. Recently, I was talking with a young lady that God has sanctified, and I asked her how school's going. And she asked me, had God called you when you were in high school? And I said, no. And she said, well, you may not understand this then. And she said, but the greatest difficulty is not having any real bond with my friends because they don't believe the gospel. See, God makes His children strangers and pilgrims in this world. We have to go to school and we have to work. We have to be friendly with those people we associate with, but we don't have any spiritual unity with them. And therefore, we don't have any real unity at all with them in this world, but between brethren. God gives the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what we have. He works in you and He makes us like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. It's mind for Christ. It's a love for Christ. It's a unity in Christ. This is why Christ said this, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. He didn't say they're going to know it because you're so perfect in your doctrine, in what you know doctrinally. He didn't say that's how men are going to know you're my disciples. He says they're going to know it if you love one another. How can that be a certainty that everybody that He calls and sanctifies are going to have a spirit of love for one another? How can that be a certainty? Because John said this, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, born of the same Holy Spirit of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that's begotten of Him. That's not just so in some, that's so in all His people. When you're born of the same Spirit, that's when God gives you love in the heart, God-given love. And you have love for your brethren. You love those who are begotten of the same Holy Spirit, who love the same Lord that you love. You know, men can fake doctrine. Men can learn doctrine, true doctrine, and can fake being very zealous for doctrine. But they can't fake the love of God that He gives. They can't fake it. Because true charity never fails, the Scripture says. And those where God's given love, they can't forsake their brethren. They love them, and they can't forsake them. They cannot forsake them. They bear one another's burdens, and that means they bear their shortcomings. They bear with their errors. They bear with everything about them, just like you do your children or your husband or your wife, because you love them. And so they bear with those things. Why? Because charity never fails. Not the charity God gives in the heart. The true sanctified child of God thanks God for brethren. We thank Him for brethren. And the Spirit God gives in His saints is thankful to God for all the blessings he gives to our brethren. He says there, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. God teaches us when he sanctifies us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. As James 1:17. Everything that you and I have, we received it freely from God. Everything we are by grace, we are by, right now, we are by God's grace. We didn't do anything. Every good gift came from the Father. And God teaches His saints that. We're sinners. Every good gift came from Him. So when we see faithfulness in our brethren, we give thanks where thanks is due. It all came from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's even by Him that we thank Him. That's how impotent we are by nature. It's even by Him that we thank Him. Hebrews 13:15 says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So first of all, the Spirit God puts in the heart, when He sanctifies His child, gives you a new spirit. It's a spirit of thankfulness to God for brethren and for the faith He gives to brethren. And then secondly, go back now to Romans 1:8. The spirit God gives in sanctification is a spirit of faithfulness. It's a spirit of faithfulness. He says there in verse 8, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. God makes those that He sanctifies faithful to God our Father by making us faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. He brings you to be faithful to Him. That means you cast all your care on Him. You trust all your completion is Christ. All your acceptance with God the Father is Christ. Everything you need to be saved is Christ. I wish people could get that. That's what Paul said when he said Christ is all. Everything we need is Christ. That's why you hear us preach Christ, Christ, Christ. That's why Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christ is all. He's everything we need. And when God saves a man and sanctifies that sinner, He's going to give him faith to be faithful to Christ, to rest in Christ. Not turn back to his works. He turns away from them. He turns to Christ. And then secondly, the faithful do something else. And this is very important. God also makes His child faithful to represent God our Savior before men. He makes you faithful to represent God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ before men, before this world. Not trying to be seen of men like the Pharisees do. The self-righteous world goes around trying to do things just so men will see them. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. He makes us faithful before men because we know that this world is looking for something in you so they can reproach Christ, reproach our gospel, and reproach our brethren. Be sure to understand this because this is of utmost importance. It matters how believers live in this world. Our conduct in this world is of utmost importance. It matters in the church before our unbelieving family and friends. It matters in the church before young believers, and it matters in this world before men. Go with me to Titus 2. I think that there are young people, and young people often don't understand this, and they think that when they hear that we're saved by grace apart from our works, that it just doesn't matter then how you live. I've even heard some people that profess to believe God that make this horrible statement, knowing they're about to sin in this outward rebellion, say, well, that's why Christ died for us. No, it's not. He didn't die for us. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Look here. Titus 2:2. He says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. He says that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. And here's for the young women, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This is our motive right here, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants. This applies to us working at our jobs. If you're employed and you're working for somebody, listen to what he says. Be obedient unto their own masters, and please them well in all things. Not answering again, not talking back, not purloining, not finding a dark place somewhere and wasting time and hiding and not doing anything, stealing the boss's time, but showing all good fidelity. Here's why. This is so of all everything we've been reading here, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people, a chosen people, zealous of good works. See that? That's why Christ died. He didn't redeem us from all iniquity and just so we can live and bring reproach on his name. He did it so we'll honor his name and adorn his name. There's a bulletin article in today's bulletin by Pastor Henry Mahan titled, Believers Represent the Lord. I want to read this to you. This illustrates what we just read in Titus. He said, several years ago, I applied for a home improvement loan at a local bank. And I did not deal with the president of the bank or an officer of the bank, but with one of the employees. And this particular employee was quite rude and unkind to me, causing me to cancel my account at that bank and move to another. The only contact I had with the bank was with this very poor representative, but it was enough to discourage me from going there again. You and I represent our Lord, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the church of the firstborn. The only contact some people have with the church and kingdom of God is through us. What kind of impression do we leave on them? What idea of Christianity do we convey to them? I wonder if they do not sometimes walk away offended, disappointed, and resolved not to inquire any further into our faith or listen to our message. I realize that we're all frail creatures subject to all of the limitations of the flesh, but we need to set a watch on our lips, control our tempers, and put forth a special effort to adorn the gospel of his grace. If we endure persecution for the gospel's sake, well and good, but not if we bring it on ourselves by our own faults. That's what Paul is saying in Titus. That illustrates the point. So God gives his saints a spirit of faithfulness to Christ, trusting Christ alone, and he gives us a faithfulness to represent Christ in this world to men. Now lastly, the spirit God gives those that he sanctifies is a spirit to serve. It's a spirit to serve. We see this in Paul. Paul was an apostle, but this applies to all God's people. This is the spirit he gives all his people, even his pastors. God gave Paul a spirit to serve him by carrying forth the gospel of Christ. He said in verse 9, he just said something about God, and he says, He says, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. Whom I serve. First and foremost, the Spirit God gives is to serve Him. Is to serve Him. Whatever you do, Scripture says, do it as unto the Lord, serving Him. After Christ spoke to Paul on one occasion, He said this in Acts 27:23. He said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve. He served our Lord Jesus. It's this new spirit that God gives His child. In the new spirit that we have this willingness and this desire to serve Him. He said there in verse 9, whom I serve with my spirit. That's that new spirit God gives. Our old sinful man has no desire to serve God whatsoever and only hinders us. We have to war against him constantly. It's in the new spirit God gives wherein we desire to serve God. Acts 19:21 says, Paul purposed in the spirit. He purposed in the spirit. Little S spirit, that spirit God gave him. He purposed in the spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. That's what's bringing him there. God calls us to serve Him, to serve Him, to serve Him in that new spirit, and to serve Him in the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. Look at verse 9. Whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. This is where our service is. God calls some to preach Christ. That's our service. My service is to preach Christ. But He calls others to do things, to serve in ways that helps me to preach Christ and to go forth and preach Christ. And that it takes every kind of form. It may be everything from cleaning the church building to taking care of the finances to being a traveling companion to financially supporting the gospel. There's all different ways, but everybody's fitly framed together for this one purpose, to serve Him in the furtherance of the gospel of His Son. And this is what we're doing. This is our purpose. And secondly, when God makes His child faithful to serve our brethren, that's how we serve our God. We serve Him, our Father, preaching His Son. And then secondly, we do so serving our brethren. Look here. Listen to this spirit. This is the spirit of a servant toward his brethren. Verse 11, Romans 1:11. Paul said, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. He's saying that I might be the instrument God uses to preach the gospel, whereby God gives you a spiritual gift. He says, to the end that you may be established. You see what his longing was? He wanted them to be established through the preaching of the gospel. He says, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. So that's a longing for brethren to be established through the gospel. And he gives us a spirit to serve whomever God sends us to serve. Look here in verse 14. I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't respect a person, whether they're rich or poor, educated, uneducated. And the Spirit He gives His servants doesn't either. We're not looking on men's persons. We're ready to preach. We're a debtor to preach this gospel to any kind of man. That's why He said to all that be in Rome. Any kind of sinner. To the wise and to the unwise. And He also gives us a Spirit to serve Him wherever God puts us. Look here in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul knew this was the seat of Satan. This was the going right into the lion's den. He knew that afflictions awaited him for going there and preaching at Rome. And that they did. He was in prison at Rome. He went to Rome a prisoner. And so, but the point here is, whomever and wherever God puts us to serve, that's where His servant is glad to serve. When Brother Eric, I asked him, did he have an interest to preach? And he said he did. The first thing I asked him, I said, you go home and you talk to Michelle, and you tell her, are you willing to go anywhere, be it Alaska, San Diego, Australia, wherever. If I go forth preaching and God calls me to pastor a church, are you willing to go wherever? And she said, yes. And I said, okay, I'll recommend you. If she had said no, I'd have said, well, you can go and preach for folks, but you can't, I won't tell them you're open to be called to be a pastor. Because you got to be willing to go wherever God puts you. And that's so right here in this local assembly. Whatever He's given us to do, we're pleased to do it. I had a man at Franklin ask me, I had been preaching the first service. I would teach a Bible lesson to the whole congregation. And we got a bunch of children, and Chris asked me to go, Pastor Cunningham asked me to go in the back and teach those little children. Here I was, I've been traveling all this time, preaching for all these churches, I've been preaching to all these adults this whole time, and now I'm going to go back there out of sight and preach little kids. And somebody came to me and they said, I don't think that's right. He's putting you back there preaching little kids. I said, you should serve God wherever God puts you. Those are souls. They're just as important as the older folks. It doesn't matter. You go where God puts you. So if it's cleaning out the gutters He's given me to do, I'm going to clean out the gutters as unto the Lord, serving Him, knowing I'm doing this for the furtherance of the gospel. Or if it's preaching, I'm going to do it the same way. That's the spirit of give, a spirit of thankfulness to God for our brethren and for all their blessings, a spirit of faithfulness to Christ and to represent Christ before men, and a spirit to serve God and to serve our brethren. That right there, my friends, that's the spirit God gives in sanctification. Do I have that spirit? Now listen, God doesn't make you a full-grown believer when He calls you at first. We don't get more holy, but we do grow in grace. And we grow through the knowledge of Christ. So this is our prayer. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And as He gives you grace and peace, He'll grow you in these graces. And I pray that for you. I pray it for me. I pray it for God's people everywhere. Let's stand together. Father, thank You for Your Word. We ask You to bless it to our hearts now. Help us to come back and worship You. Forgive us our sins, Lord. In Christ's name. Amen. Love.